الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا وكريمنا وعزيزنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رحمة للعالمين وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا إمام الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد الحمد لله by the infinite grace by his mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us all to gather here today in his blessed, noble sanctuary to glorify and praise him, to submit and surrender to him, and to send peace and blessings and salutations upon his most beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal accept our sincere intentions and efforts on this day of Jumu'ah and make it a means for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. Today, insha'Allahul Aziz, we will talk about a very important topic that has been on the lips and on the fingertips of many people for the last, I'd say, few weeks. And for our youngsters, and even for some of our elders, we have been drawn into this politically and drawn into this for religious and cultural reasons. And this is the discussion of football that is taking place at this very moment in time in Qatar. And for some people, they say sports is sports and it should not be brought into the realm of politics. For other people, they have reservations on whether sports should be played by Muslims or not, let alone for it to be hosted in a Muslim country. There are various discussions around this particular topic at hand. But I want to take a very pragmatic view to this topic of not just football and the sport in itself, or even just what's going on internationally, but look at it from the Islamic perspective and paradigm for us to understand what is actually being shared across the world in regards to Qatar and in regards to football and in regards to Muslims at whole. So insha'Allahul Aziz, we will touch on this subject very, very briefly, because I'm sure you've had your own personal experiences with your friends, perhaps with your family, and even with your non-Muslim colleagues about what's going on internationally. And it's important for us to know, or at least have a little understanding from the Quranic perspective. The first aspect that I want to talk about today in regards to football, especially in Qatar, is actually something that comes before that, which is hospitality. And hospitality is an integral part of our Asian culture, but its actual roots come from our Islamic heritage. our foundations of who we are, our sakhawa, our karam, our generosity, our hospitality, our niceness, our welcoming other people from different nations or tribes or areas, people of different ethnicities, etc., all stems and comes from the root of our religion of Islam, which is to be polite and courteous and welcoming and hospitable to all of those people who come your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the Quran mentions about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. About Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, duyuf Ibrahim. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that remember and recall when the guests went to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and how that encounter carried on and unfolded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in the various aspects in the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrates to us how generous the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was towards his family and non-family members, towards his friends and even towards his enemies when they came, and he would always be hospitable to them. And we have various ahadith in this regard where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and in turn the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam reminds us that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, that whosoever, i.e. us Muslims here in this regard, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day, fal yukrim dayfah, then therefore he must be hospitable, he must be welcoming towards his guest. This is part of who we are. So this is something that we can't deny, and we know that whether it is our friends or family, our ghori or any other people, wherever you go to Muslim countries, you go to the Middle East, you go to Asia, you go to all of these people and they are very welcoming. You're on the street and you see somebody walking by, you say, tafaddal, tafaddal in Egypt, come join us. They never like to sit alone and eat. So this is part of who we are. But hospitality is not something which should be abused. Hospitality should not be something which is ignored and overlooked just so that you can have your particular say. Hospitality must be reciprocated by respect. For example, when you go to a Japanese person's home, they expect you, they will welcome you into their home, but they will expect you to take off your shoes and then come into their homes. When we meet somebody and we invite them for dinner, we expect them to wash their hands. We even expect them to take off their shoes before they enter into our homes. We have this hospitality that we expect the men to be separate and the women to be separate. That doesn't mean that the guests that you are inviting, then they have the right to say, how dare you separate men and women? How dare you ask me to take off my shoes? How dare you ask me to wash my hands? Etc., etc. It's nonsensical for guests who you are hosting for them to go and complain about your culture, your etiquettes and your way of life. This is not how the world works. Even if you look at this particular country, when you meet the Queen, they have certain etiquettes, certain protocols that you have to follow. You have to curtsy, you have to keep your head down, you can't shout and scream, you can't call her by her name, or Elizabeth, come over here. You can't do any of these things. Same with the King or the Queen or anybody else. And with the Prime Minister, they all have these rules and regulations that we will host you, but these are the rules and this is how you need to show and demonstrate your respect towards us. So a guest should therefore be courteous towards his host by observing the rules of their home. Even when we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his home. And therefore we are required to make sure that we wear clothing in a dignified manner. In a dignified manner, that we are fully clothed, the men and the women. We are expected to adhere to those certain protocols of removing our shoes, making sure that our body, we have performed the ghusl, making sure that we have wudu before we enter the masjid, before we pray our salah. All of these are part and parcel of those etiquettes and the requirements when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hosting us. Even when you go to Makkah and Medina, there are certain things that you have to uphold. Similarly, when people are entering into your home, you expect certain things at workplace, in a professional place. When you're meeting people of protocol, there are certain expectations when they are hosting you, which you must follow. So removing shoes, washing your hands, sitting separately. When a guest comes, the host will host them and be polite and courteous to them and feed them and do all of those things. But they must in turn respect the rules of that home. Respect the rules of that country, regardless of their faith. When people come to this country as immigrants, seeking asylum seekers, or other people, political refugees, etc., they don't say, oh, you can live the way you want. They say, no, you still have to live by the law of the land. You still have to follow these protocols. You still have to follow these particular etiquettes and mannerisms, because this is our country. This is our society. And although you may be asylums or refugees or guests or visiting, you still have to follow our rules. You understand where I'm taking this? So why is it then, when these people from this country or Europe or anywhere else in the world, they have these social norms and protocols and these etiquettes, and they have these expectations of us, but when they go to our country, we can't say the same thing to them? What is that? How is that acceptable? It's not acceptable. It's not even a double standard. It's a triple standard of the way that they behave with us. So this is why I really wanted to share this particular aspect of hospitality and the mannerisms and etiquettes in Islam. Yes, we will always be polite and courteous to those people who we welcome or who come towards us, but we give respect and we expect respect in return. So the Qataris, they are only doing what? They are hosting, they are welcoming, but they are saying to the people who are coming into their country, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your way of life. You have your values, etc. But this is our way of life. These are our values. So when you come here, this is how you need to behave. This is a very, very simple response to their arguments that this is how they should allow this and they should allow this and they should allow that. No, why should they buy? Do you allow your daughter or your son or your people to behave in particular ways? You don't even allow your prince and princesses to behave the way they want. They have to follow the rules of the royal family. You don't even allow them to live their own particular life. So who are you to come to our countries, our Muslim countries, and say, this is how we should be able to behave? No, behave how you want in your own home, in your own country. Don't come and dictate how we should be behaving. Second thing that I want to remind you is about sticking to our principles, sticking to who we are, our identity. Imagine that every single one of us had the same color skin. We all had the same ethnicity and background. We all spoke the same language. What variety, what beauty would be there in the world? We have different continents, we have people of different colors, ethnicities, of languages, and they have their own variety and beauty that they bring, their culture, the food, the spices, and so many other things. We share all of this because of this beautiful world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah Himself mentions, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has differed your وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, your languages, وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, and even your colors. Allah has made you varied. He's made you deliberately different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other verses of the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever wished, He could have made you all into one nation, one tribe, one color, one language, but no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want that to happen. He created us with all of these variances. So we all have different principles. The way that people live in Africa, their principles and their values are very different to the way that Europeans live their life. The way that the Middle Eastern and the way that the Asians live is very, very different. You go to a Japanese or in Japan or China, their homes, and if you leave food on their plate, they will feel like you have disrespected them and dishonored them. Part of their culture is that you leave some food on their plate. Whereas if you go to our culture, and if you leave some food on the plate, khana pasand nahi aaya, changa nahi lagya, masale zyada hain. We expect people to clean our plates, but the Japanese and the Chinese expect people to leave food on their plate. This is their culture, this is how they live their life. They expect you to slurp up the noodles, whereas we say, aram na khao. You know, don't make too much noise when you're drinking your noodles, etc. In Egypt, if you go and you ask people for salt, they find this very, very disrespectful. How dare you ask for salt? You know, how dare you ask for milk? You know, more salt in the food. So everybody has their culture, they have their particular values, and they have their particular principles that they uphold. And if everybody just conformed, we'd just be this one homogenous society all throughout the world. But no. Our cultures, our societies, our ethnicities, our religion, our faith is all different. This is part and parcel of the beauty. Imagine having dal all your life. Or rather, just living here in the UK, imagine just having potatoes and fish and chips all your life. That's all the cuisine here that we have in the UK. Everything else came from abroad. So imagine you had no variety whatsoever. And this is what, unfortunately, the West wants. They want everybody to look like them, to dress like them, to behave like them, to have values and principles like them. But then their values are constantly fluctuating, going up and down. Before, homosexuality was forbidden and now it's okay. Before, alcohol was forbidden but now it's okay. They had so many values that go up and down. But our values and our principles do not change, because our values and principles come from Ar-Rahman. Our values and principles come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has given us this deen and He has perfected our deen for us and said, this is your deen, this is your way of life. These are your principles. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. This is your way of life. These are your principles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَتْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. That be upright. We need to remain upright, which means we need to stick to our principles just the way that we have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to stay within the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. We don't transgress the boundaries. We don't say, oh, Allah said this, but then we're going to do whatever we want. Other faiths and religions have done this. Their Lord has told them what to do. But then they say, oh, we don't believe this anymore. We will follow science. We will follow humanism. We will follow this. We will follow that. These things are not in line with our human principles and values. And they end up just pushing their deen away and away. Whereas we don't do that. وَلَا تَتْغَوْا. We don't transgress. We don't overstep our boundaries. We stick to our principles because we know our deen is perfect. Our Lord is perfect. This is how it has been given to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, fastaqim. Who else is more stable and more upright than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? In spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, telling him to remain upright in all of your affairs. And this is essentially what the Qataris are trying to do. They're trying to remain upright. They're trying to remain to the best of their abilities and keep and maintain and protect and preserve their religion and their principles and their way of life. But there is this constant onslaught from the West and the media. You have to change. You are backdated. You are like this. Why, why? You do what you want to do. If you think that we're so backwards, look at how you just did the janazah of your own queen. Over how many days? Pira, pirake, pira, pirake. This is how you showcase your queen's, you know, body. And this is how you dafnaled her with all this, you know, show. Is this how you do things, or do you live life more simplicity? Look at the amount of money that was spent and the time that was spent on just this funeral and the procession. Why? She's just a human being like everybody else. So don't tell us to be forward thinking, but you are backward with your royal family, or you have your particular principles and your way of life. It doesn't work like that. So we can't compromise our principles. We have our way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again and again in the Quran that wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. That we have to hold firmly onto the rope, onto the principles and the values that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and not be divided. And football, unfortunately, now has become a political division. And they're trying to divide us politically. They're trying to break us apart, even on an Islamic perspective as well. But we need to say, look, football is football, and this is our hospitality. This is how we treat other people. We respect your way of life. You can live however you want to live, but let us live how we want to live. These are our principles, and this is our way of life. Throughout the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the Quraysh, the Meccans, the tribes in Makkah and Medina constantly tried to make the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam compromise on his principles, on his values, on his belief systems. Oh, we'll worship your God for some time, then you worship our gods for some time. You can do this and we can do that. Let's mix and match the faith. Let's mix and match these practices. Let's do a bit of this and a bit of that. And we'll all live happily together. But no. Our Lord is one. That's the Prophet alayhi salam said, no, la ilaha illallah. He would not compromise on this. He would not compromise on his principles, on his values. Even in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, after the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam did the hijrah, even though those terms were unfavorable to the Muslims, in spite of those terms being unfavorable, he didn't compromise the Islamic values or the principles of Islam about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the unity of the Muslims, even though the terms were unfavorable to the Muslims. So we see this from the beginning of our Islamic history. And up until now, the people have always tried to come and make us conform, make us change, and make us be like them, and dress like them, and behave like them, and talk like them, in order for us to think like, yes, we're accepted, yes, we're equal with them. But we don't need to be like them, we just need to be like the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We just need to be like the Ibadur Rahman, the true servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to be steadfast in our principles, in our values of who we are, what our identity is, and what we believe and how we live our life and how we conduct and interact with other people. But we see this constant barrage of attacks from the Western media, criticizing, belittling, ignoring, and giving them constant negative publicity, which is uncalled for in every single way. Not even double, but rather it is triple standards and hypocrisy. When there is a Muslim and there's a shooting in America or anywhere else, terrorists, terrorists, terrorists. And the cell and this, you know, brainwashing, when it is any of theirs, oh, just a lone wolf, just a deranged man or mentally unstable person going and shooting 30, 40 people, shooting 60, 70 people, oh, just these individual people. When it comes to Muslims, even one, then it's the entire nation, entire culture, entire religion. You've seen the double, triple standards. Look at how Islamophobia is here in the UK and also in the West. In 2021 to 2022, over 42% of the hate crimes that were reported were against Muslims. Muslims were saying that this is what these people are doing. Up until now, the Conservatives still don't have a definition of Islamophobia. They don't even acknowledge that it really truly exists. We'll see whether it exists, we'll investigate it, etc. We're living in 2022. These are the realities of what we are living in, the double, triple standards in the media, in the West, in society. And this, our own BBC, which was the impartial provider of British broadcasting news throughout the world, and ITV, they chose deliberately not to showcase the open ceremony. Why? Why did they focus on just their rules and human rights, etc.? Where were they for Russia when they did the World Cup? Where were they for Brazil? Where were they for China? Where were they for all of these things? And even now, when you see so much going on in China with Myanmar Muslims and so many other things, atrocities throughout the world, where are they? When the World Cup goes to America, will they talk about the abortion rights that women have or no longer have in America? Will they talk about all of these other things? Or will they just say, no, football is football, let's keep it separate. And let's only just focus on these things. So these are the very important discussions and talking points that we need to have, and not just think that, oh yes, Qataris need to change, oh yes, they're wrong, and we need to conform, and we need to change, and we need to become acceptable to them. No, we have our way of life, we are hospitable and we welcome people, but we have our values and our principles, and we don't have these double standards that other people have. We are honest and we can maintain our integrity, unlike those people throughout the world. So regardless of whatever your rules are in your country, there's common sense and common courtesy to show respect towards other people and their culture, even though you may not agree with it. When you go to the Maasai Mara, when you go to Kenya, when you go to Africa, they're like spitting on your hand when they agree on something. Here you say, oh, why are you spitting on your hand? I'm not going to shake your hand. But that's just their way. You know, that's just how they live, how they operate. But when you go to other countries, you have to respect the rules of that country, the way that they operate, their religion, their culture, their practices, even though you may not agree with it. And this is the least that we are just expecting from them. When they go to Muslim countries, when they go to Qatar, when they go to for any official thing, then respect the land of the law. Respect them and their culture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and we always uphold this to the best of our ability, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders justice, and we maintain that justice in our actions. We are equitable. We show equality to those other people that are around us, and we show good conduct. But do these people show their justice towards us when it doesn't favor them? Do they show or maintain their good conduct? No, they don't. We can see this, the fast, we can see in the society what is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again reminds us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. That, oh, you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maintain your principles, your values, and be just, and not allow the enmity of other people, the hatred of other people, prevent you from doing that which is just. And this is what all they need to do is be just in their approach and how they showcase all of the things that are happening. Remember that they are guests in the country that is hosting them, and they have their way of life, and they are allowing them to do what they need to do, but they need to respect the land of the law. We see this hypocrisy in the media, and we see it constantly around us in the society that we are living in. We see this arrogance that they have, that they are this elite society, they have this way of life, and only their way of life is the correct way of life. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned Sahih Bukhari that al-kibaru batarul haqq, that it is arrogance means ridiculing, and it means rejecting the truth, and it means despising people. And this is what they have. They ridicule Muslims. They are ridiculing the country, and they are despising them. That look at them, they are backwards, they are this, they are that. By no means or no standard we are saying Qatar is perfect or the Muslims of Qatar are perfect, but they are growing, they are on a particular journey. And just like these people are, so we show respect and we expect respect in return. Our rules, our principles are non-negotiable, just like their rules and their way of life are non-negotiable to them. And therefore, we should not be expected just to mold into their form and their figure and the way that they conduct themselves, because their values and their principles are constantly changing, whereas our values are fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu iza laqeetum fi'atan fathbutu wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun, that you who believe, when you meet anybody, stand firm in who you are, in your identity, in what you believe, in your principles, in your way of life, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can so that you may prevail. But if you lose yourself and your identity and your values and your principles, then Qatar and the Middle East and Pakistan and everywhere else will just be another image of the West. But our image is in the image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in the image of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to maintain our hospitality, which is part and parcel of who we are, but at the same time maintain our core principles and values and beliefs, and tell people, yes, you may live your life, but this is our way of life, and we will live according to our deen of Islam and our cultures. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and keep us all steadfast.